There's new data on Americans dying because they can't afford their medicine. I'm David Brancaccio. Almost one in four U.S. adults were not able to pay for a prescription in the last year. Others knew someone who couldn't afford care and died. This information is from new data from the nonprofit group West Health, which commissioned a scientific survey of 1,100 people. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The poll says more than 13% of American adults know someone who died over the past 5 years because they couldn't pay for treatment. That rises to 20% for people of color. What's going on?
Median household income hasn't moved much.
That's Dan Witters of Gallup, who says close to a third of U.S. adults couldn't cover a $500 medical bill.
All it takes is one event, and they're in trouble.
And Witters says the number of people who couldn't afford their medication spiked this year. Over at Georgetown Center on Health Insurance Reforms, researcher Sabrina Corlett says that's true even for people with insurance, because insurers are requiring consumers to shoulder more of the rising cost of drugs, sometimes hundreds of dollars a month.
I think for many people, they just decide to forego it, or they skip prescriptions or do whatever they can.
Congress is considering bills to control or cap drug prices. 85% of those surveyed by Gallup favor legislation lowering drug prices. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And the corporate parent of Alphabet is plunging deeper into the future of healthcare. The company confirmed yesterday a partnership to hold the health data of millions of patients on behalf of a hospital and senior living chain. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following this. What do we know?
This is a partnership between Google and the healthcare system Ascension. Google is Google, and Ascension operates more than 2,000 hospitals and doctor's offices around the country. Eventually, all of the data of Ascension patients could be uploaded to Google's cloud. This is part of the tech company's efforts to move into the healthcare sphere, hiring health professionals, using artificial intelligence to aid services, and recently acquiring Fitbit. Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft have also been trying to move into this sphere.
Now, we know federal law protects patient data. Are there concerns?
Yep, there are. There's HIPAA. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that Google and Ascension began an initiative last year called Project Nightingale. Ascension lab results, diagnoses, hospitalization records, and other information was shared without notifying doctors or patients beforehand. Both companies say this initiative is compliant with HIPAA and includes, quote, robust protections for patient data. But Google's previously come under fire for sharing to the cloud hundreds of thousands of patient records without properly stripping identifiable data stamps or doctor's notes. And Google already knows a lot about people. The company said in a blog post on Monday that patient data cannot and will not be combined with any Google consumer data.
Will not. Marketplace's Erica Barris, thank you. President Trump is expected to talk trade and tariffs at a speech midday today at the Economic Club of New York. European sources suggest Trump will delay a decision on new tariffs on European cars and car parts, perhaps for another 6 months. Checking the markets, the FTSE stock index in London is up 0.4% here. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.1% or less. After intense U.S. pressure, including tariff threats, Mexico sent the National Guard to its southern border to stop migrants from other countries trying to transit through the U.S. Mexico also agreed this year to let people seeking asylum wait in Mexico while the U.S. processes cases. From KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau, Rodrigo Cervantes reports on what those changes mean for Mexico's southern border with Guatemala.
Tecunumán in Guatemala is just south of Ciudad Hidalgo in Mexico, tied by culture and trade and separated by a river. José Salegio is a Guatemalan and makes a living by taking people back and forth on his raft.
Ah, llegaba bastante, mucha, pasaba bastante gente, así como va aquella cámara.
Salegio tells me rides have dropped 70% in just a few months.
Hey!
He points to a raft sailing to Guatemala, loaded with inexpensive Mexican goods. Salegio says you don't see many rafts like that anymore. Mexico grants asylum to foreigners who want to pass through the country to reach the U.S., but it tightened its border with Guatemala after President Trump threatened tariffs if it didn't stop those migrants. Esther Lopez sells street food on the Mexican side of a river and says almost no one from Guatemala is coming to her business anymore.
Everything was fine until the people from the migration office, the army, and the marines showed up. And this has severely affected our sales.
And in Tapachula, the largest Mexican city near the Guatemala border, thousands of refugees have been stranded for months. Their temporary permit only allows them to work and live in the city. Alejandro Lozada is a doctor from Cuba who wants to go to the U.S. Lozada says Tapachula has few jobs and those that are available don't pay well. Like other migrants here, Lozada says the only thing he wants from the Mexican government is permission to go to the American border. In Tapachula, Mexico, I'm Rodrigo Cervantes for Marketplace.
And what word should I use? The iconoclastic, colorful head of the cellular phone company T-Mobile is being talked about for CEO of the troubled shared office-based company WeWork, the company that lost its founder and CEO after a failed attempt to launch its stock. The Financial Times is reporting T-Mobile's John Ledger is among several candidates for the WeWork spot. Ledger's public image at T-Mobile is that of aging rock and roller from an 80s hairband, in stark contrast with the slicked-back suit-and-tie image that he wore in the 90s when Ledger turned around a failed fiber-optic company called Global Crossing. Now, I asked Ledger about this evolution once. He told me jokingly that he's become more self-actualized over time. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.